Old Testament now for a chapter from the prophecy of Hosea. Pretty short chapter, chapter 6. Just 11 verses, yet very instructive. So hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So there are a few things that we have to understand at the outset of chapter 6 in order to have a good understanding of it. We must understand the separation of the northern and the southern kingdoms in ancient Israel. Israel was the name that was retained by the 10 tribes in the north, also because the tribe of Ephraim was the largest tribe. It was also sometimes called Ephraim. Just Ephraim would be the name for the northern kingdom. In the south, you have Judah. Now remember what happened in the northern kingdom. Jeroboam at the beginning perverted the worship of God. And then during the history of that northern kingdom, not only was the worship perverted, but then it ended up being idolatrous in the outright. Not only a second commandment idolatry, right? Second commandment idolatry is when we worship God in ways that he has not commanded. So Jeroboam said, let's worship the true God, but let's make up these other ordinances. Let's make up these calves. Let's make up this place and that place. And let me appoint priests of the basis of the people to be your priests and so on. And the Lord calls that idolatry, second commandment idolatry, right? The way we worship God. But then in Ahab and Jezebel, there was brought into the northern kingdom Baal worship. And that's first commandment idolatry. And so what happened then, this is why it says that there is whoredom in Ephraim and Israel is defiled. That means spiritual unfaithfulness. Israel of old, the entire nation, north and south, was like the church is called, like the bride of God. But when she goes to another god instead, the Lord thinks of that as a spiritual unfaithfulness, a spiritual adultery, if you will. And so that's why that terminology is used there in verses 10 and 11. But notice the invitation. Even to a nation like that, even to a nation that is turned away from God, listen what God puts in the mouth of his prophet, the preacher, to the northern kingdom. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And so what is the northern kingdom known? They have known, number one, the chastisements of the Lord first. They have known his afflictions, the difficulties that he's brought upon them. And if you read the history of the Northern Kingdom, you're going to see all of those things. It's horrible. They had one series in their monarchy in the Northern Kingdom where it was accession by assassination. Think of what that does to a country when king after king, two or three kings in a row, come to the kingship by slaying their predecessor and then taking that to himself. Think of what that does to a nation. Think of the disarray. Think of the injustice. Think of all of the things that are going to accrue to a nation like that. The Lord says, I'm bringing you these temporal judgments so that you will turn to me. I suppose that we might make that application to our own country. And judgment begins at the house of God. If churches turn away from the Lord and begin doing their own thing, we can expect that to have a manifestation in our greater society. And so that is what we see. So what is the remedy for that? The remedy is not to blame El Nino for the weather events, right? The remedy is to call upon the name of the Lord, that the churches especially would take the lead in this and that we would call for repentance for our land, that the Lord would be pleased to bind us up. Right? He is torn and he will heal us. He is smitten and he will bind us up. And then there is a witness here, a sort of a dark, a cryptic, prophetic witness to the resurrection of Christ. Listen to what he says. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's a prophetic witness to the resurrection of Christ. And now we're looking at this with greater light, having, you know, seen the resurrection of Christ, looking back on the Old Testament. We see that, and we see what Hosea is saying here in its deepest and greatest understanding is that repentance that we're looking for, it's found only in Jesus Christ. It is in him that we will be raised up. It is in him that we will follow on to know the Lord. And remember how precious that phrase is in the book of Hosea when it says, thou shalt know the Lord. That is, thou shalt have, as a nation, the intimacy of a husband and wife with the Lord. That kind of knowledge. If we follow on to know the Lord. And so the first three verses of this chapter are hugely merciful. Hugely merciful. We see all kinds of mercy that is being advertised by the prophet here. But let us also remember that God is a God of truth, and so when we go astray, he doesn't continue to preach mercy, he preaches what we must do to repent in order to that mercy. And so this is what happens in verse 4. In verse 4 he says, Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? Judah, what shall I do unto thee? Your goodness is like the morning cloud and the early dew. When the sun comes up, it evaporates. It evaporates away. And so then that's when the Lord advertises those judgments that he's brought upon them. The first thing, notice the first judgment that the Lord brings. I have hewed thee by my prophets. Now what does it mean to hew? Yeah, to chop. That's right. That's right. My prophets have chopped you with their words. Hopefully they have cut down your pride. Hopefully they have cut down your disobedience. Right? The first word that the Lord brings is, I have hewed thee with my prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgments are, and thy judgments are as light that goeth forth. What I've told you is the truth, God says. What I've told you is the truth. I've sent my prophets to you, not soft peddling, not like we read in Jeremiah. These guys are saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. No, they brought my judgments to you. They've told you the truth, that I desired mercy and not sacrifice, that I desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I want your heart, God says. Return unto me like a faithful nation, like a faithful wife, like a faithful church unto me. Return unto me in that way, the Lord says. Not just in offerings, not just in sacrifice. Give me your hearts, God says. And then verse 7, but they like men have transgressed the covenant. Some of you will have a footnote. That's a good footnote to look at in verse 8 there. Sorry, verse 7. but they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. And Adam is used there because that's what Adam did. He disobeyed the Lord, right? And he plunged the race into corruption and difficulty when he did. They, like men, they have, like Adam, they've transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Then he describes that. Gilead, once a city, right? Once a city where sacrifices were offered. Once a city where Solomon himself went to offer burnt offerings in abundance. Now, what kind of city has it become? It's a city of them that work iniquity. It is polluted with blood. Violence has broken out in Gilead. And troops of robbers wait for a man to company. So the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. Even the ministry is complicit. Oh, what a terrible picture of the northern kingdom the Lord places here. But as terrible as the picture is, please remember for the first three verses that the mercy of God is a match for that terribleness. The mercy of God is yet held out to the northern kingdom. And then finally, verses 10 and 11, I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is whoredom in Ephraim. That is, there is idolatry, spiritual adultery going on. Israel is defiled. Of course, that's the language of someone who would go out from their spouse to another. They would become defiled. But even with all of that, we have the mercy of God at the front of the chapter. So then, also Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I returned the captivity of my people. And there's a little bit of a division among Old Testament scholars as to exactly what verse 11 means. I think what's being spoken of here is that there will come a time very soon in the days of Josiah when he will travel up to the northern kingdom that is now, by Josiah's time, been taken away by the Assyrians. And yet he will find faithful ones there, and they will return with him to Jerusalem, and they will worship the true God in the way he has ordained yet again. And so there was mercy even in that day that was given. And then, of course, that mercy that we read about in verse 3 that is advertised in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, thus ends the reading then of Hosea.